My goldfish drowned. That's the title of my message. I want to share with you, first of all, that I heard this story and sort of prompted me, well, that's the direction we're going. There was a little girl, and this little girl came running into her mama, and she said, "Mama, mama, mama, my goldfish drowned." Her mama says, "How do you know?" She says, "Because he's turned upside down in the top and he's not moving." And she says, "Well, how do you know he drowned?" And she says, "Because he was in the water and you drown in the water." She says, "Yes, but goldfish don't." I want you to know this morning that there are a lot of people today that are living in environments that are destructive to them, that cause them to drown because they have a mistaken identity, who they are and whose they are. All around us, we could go through these streets, we could go through our neighborhoods, we could go through our apartments here or our condos, and knock on doors and take a survey and talk to people. And the first thing you might ask them is, "Who are you?" Now, most people would give you a name. And if you were then to ask, "Well, who are you really? In your essence, who are you?" And they were to say, it would be amazing for you to hear what they think they are. Because you see, our identity determines what we do, how we think about things. This morning, what I want to do is share with you from God's Word and from my studies this week, as well as a life of experience and the Holy Spirit's prompting, where identity comes from and how you can share the liberating, transforming power that most people are searching for today, might I add, in all the wrong places. You've heard that song. Identity is not created, it is discovered. Now, this identity can take shape and become recreated, but you do not create your identity, your essence. You may think you are a fish, but if your identity is not a fish, you will end up at the top of the tank, floating, not breathing, dead, and you wonder what was your purpose. In his book, this past week, I got this in the mail at the school. It came to the school. It was for the Bible teacher at the school, so I opened it, and it was called Holy Sexuality and the Gospel. Now, his name is Christopher Yawn, a gay man who wrote this. I was interested. I read as much literature as I can. There's some that's trash I don't read, okay? And you got to discern that real quick when you open a book. But this book was interesting. I didn't know where in the world he was going to go with this. But in there, Christopher Yawn, a man who in his early life was not only gay, but he was fully engaged gay. He said of himself, if people ask him who he was, he would say, "I'm gay. I'm a gay man. That's my identity. I'm gay." Until he was confronted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And after accepting Jesus Christ, he found his identity was not in something he was doing, acting, feeling, thinking, but it was in his essence now in Christ. And it was liberating. He was not bound to be in something, and he was not bound to be out of something. He wasn't bound by the labels that we give ourselves in the world. In his book, he said this, I quote, "What I felt had become who I am." He says, who are we? Our essence determines how we live, Our ethics and how we live determines who we are. If we have a flawed view of our identity, we'll have a flawed view of who we are. Personhood affects practice, and practice affects personhood. Hear that last part. Practice affects personhood. He goes on, all of my friends were gay. My neighbors were gay. My apartment manager was gay. My brother was gay. My barber was gay. My house cleaner was gay. I worked out of a gay gym and bought groceries at the gay Kroger's. Didn't know there was one, but his identity was gay, and he deliberately surrounded himself with those who affirmed him in his identity to validate his identity. An identity that was given him because of something he felt. An attraction, he said. How can you identify yourself by an attraction? He said, I began to realize that's not my essence, the things I'm attracted to. And as he went on his journey in the scriptures, he realized that he had spent all his life developing his identity that he said he was born with, and an identity which was anywhere but near God. And so when he read this in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, excuse me. It says this. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. He realized that as he read that, he says this. Listen to this statement. He finally came to this point. Thus, rejecting our inherent essence and replacing it simply with what we feel or what we do is in reality an attempted coup d'etat against our Creator, rebellion against our Creator. We don't need to find our identity. Our identity is given by God. So as I read that book, his whole concept of the book is, and two, I would tell you this, if you have gay friends, if you have homosexuals that most of us have plenty around us, and you get to talking with them, you don't deal with those issues. You deal with identity. And he's saying here, the way you reach people across the board is through identity. What's your identity? Who are you? And then you share your identity in Jesus Christ. This way, we're not in battle with anything. We're in essence sharing our faith in Jesus Christ, sharing our identity, sharing our essence. I want to just say this, and just based on what I just said, Sigmund Freud had an immense impact on the academic community and young people beginning in the early 1900s. He was impacted by the romanticism of the late 1800s, which had swept Europe with an existentialism which began to change the fabric of the minds and the hearts of Europe. All of this led to one new thought. What I feel is who I am. What I feel is who I am. Really? Well, God, it's amazing to me is how churches buy into that. They will take Sigmund Freud's word over Jesus' word, and yet they're churches. I want you to know something. if you feel it, they say, and God made you, then he must have put that feeling in you, and it is a credible norm for you. It's who you are. And they accept you based on that credible norm. The Bible says of feelings in Mark chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. Says, for it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside, and they defile a person. We will have all kinds of thoughts and feelings, even as Christians, which are an antithesis to who we are, are opposite of our essence, are against our identity. Who we are does not come from the heart unless the heart is first given to Christ and your identity has been changed to in Christ. Christopher found this out in his journey, completely changed his identity. And when his identity became in Christ, he realized an attraction that he had was not his identity. There's another man that I want to talk about this morning, whose identity was so grounded in Christ that it affected everything he did. And everybody in the world knew of this man. As a matter of fact, from a movie that we had that came out first in England and then here, we really all came to know him. Eric Little, the runner in Chariots of Fire, who in the early 1900s was confronted with a serious problem. He grew up in China. He was of a missionary's family. He had been taught to give his life to Christ. He had been taught to search out every decision that he makes from the Word of God. And he was a brilliant runner. Scotland hailed him as the greatest runner to ever come out of Scotland. In the movie Chariots of Fire, he said this, and by the way, documented this with his book, I believe God made me for a purpose, and he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. I want you to notice that. God made me for a purpose, but he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. Some of the things that some of us have said who we are, You said, if you were to identify yourself this morning, you would say, this is who I am. Are things that are things given you as gifts, or maybe your culture, or your background, or your family background, which are fine, but God has a greater identity for you. Identity that supersedes all that stuff. He put you, the essence of you, into a culture, true, but you are not, your identity is not that culture. He did put you in a family, but your true identity is not your family. Finding our true essence of who we are has been the journey of every man from the beginning of time. Eric Little said he knew who he was. In the Olympics, he said this, it has been a wonderful experience to compete in the Olympic Games and to bring home a gold medal. But since I have been a young lad, I have had my eyes on a different prize. You see, each one of us is on a greater race than any I have run in Paris. And this race ends when God gives out the medals in heaven. you know the story of Eric Little? He was the one that said, who was the great 100-yard runner. Everybody said he can beat anybody in the 100 yards. He's extremely fast starter. He came to the 100 yards to the Paris Olympics and found out the race was on Sunday. And he told his committee that he could not run on Sunday. The word of God says you're to keep the Sabbath holy. Nay, some of them tried to tell him the Sabbath is Saturday. You're going. He said, my Sabbath is Sunday. The day I worship the living God is Sunday. I cannot. That's the holy day unto God. I cannot run on Sunday. And many of you know that Eric Little stood there, and they wore him out. The Scotland government, I mean, they sent him, wired him different messages. You can't do this. You have got to run. You're our hope. You have to run. And then they tried to legitimize it. You know, God is not a God who's all into legal stuff like that. You know, he'll let us run. Go ahead and run. And he said, no, I stand on what the Word of God says. The Word of God says this. That's what I stand on. I'm not standing on any man's judgment. I'm standing on God. Because my identity is in Christ, I stand on His Word. What happened to Eric? He missed the race. But they had another opening, the 400 meter. Now, some of you know the 400 meter is tremendously long. How long is that? Do y'all know? I didn't get to look it up, but it's a long, it's an extremely long race. But anyway, he was to run the 400 meters. And they said he won't do it. He can't do it. The reason he can't do it is because he's a short distance runner. Eric laid it before God and said, God, if you wanted me to run in this race, I can win it. He said, and I want to be a testimony to Christ. But whether I win it or lose it doesn't make any difference to me. What makes a difference to me is that I honor you with my life. And so Eric Little ran in that race. Even though the world was angry at Eric Little for not running in the race, and he was mocked and abused for not doing what he was called to do, he ran and won the 400 meter against some of the greatest runners of his day. An impossible feat. What was it about Eric Little that made him make those great decisions? For him, it wasn't a great decision. It was a nothing decision. He just was doing what God was leading him to do. No big deal. Because his identity was not as an Olympic runner. I remember I was a volleyball coach for a long period of time, and over at Crescent Christian, and my record was 97 and 19. I wanted to get to 100 wins, but the next year, the principal said he wanted to coach because his daughter was a senior that year. And I said, whoa, God, we're on a chance to win a national championship again. I'd won one and three state championships. But, you know, Lord, and I sulked over that thing. I did. I got upset. Not at God, but at, how dare that principal come in here and tell me he's going to coach when I have the record of 97 and 19. Who does he think he is? I am the volleyball coach. God took that away from me. It was God. The reason it was because my identity was not in the right place, nor was my identity in what it should be. As pastor of this church and as Bible teacher over there and an example to those kids, I had become the volleyball coach. He was saying, I don't want that identity in you. That's not you. I want my essence to be Christ. Your essence to be Christ. Some of you know the story, some of you don't. The rest of the story about Eric Little, I didn't know it all. I sat enamored. I got to sleep one night this week about 2:30 in the morning, and I told my wife the next morning what time. She said, what were you doing? I said, I was reading. She said, well, you could read later. I said, no, I couldn't put this down. Have you ever read something you can't put it down? You read the story of Eric Little's life after the Olympics, you will not put it down. Yet we don't hear about that. But let me tell you what happened to Eric Little. He was the same in the Olympics as after the Olympics. He did not glory in his gold medal. He gloried in his identity, which was in Jesus Christ. He was called to be a missionary to China, and he went. He was there for a short time, and he met a young lady who was almost 10 years younger than him. And at the time, she was too young. And then, when she got to be 18, he was engaged to be married to her. But they had to wait 3 years for her to get out of nursing school. So actually, he dated her for about 6 years, I think. They finally got married there in China, and they were happily married about 1940. It was in the late 30s. They had two girls, two children, and they were very happy. The war broke out in Europe during this time, World War II, and it became precarious to travel, especially in the open seas. And so, the Japanese had invaded China and were coming after missionaries especially. And he said, I am here because Christ called me here. I have a purpose. And Eric got his family to Canada. Now, actually, there was three different trips that got him there, and it's an amazing story. Don't have time to tell all that. It's 10 pages long. But he got him to Canada, and then he came back to China. As he kissed them goodbye, he did not know it, but it was the last time he would see his wife and girls. He went back to China, and the Japanese had completely overrun the Chinese village where he was serving. And so he began to serve not only the Chinese, but also the Japanese, even though they were committing atrocities against the Chinese. Because his God was for all people, and his nature was Christ. He was interred in a concentration camp there outside the city, and there were a lot of children that were there. And so he understood his new ministry, his call, was to minister to these children in this camp. Many of them couldn't find food. They were defenseless. And Uncle Eric was what he was called in the camp, took care of the kids. Remembered one day there was a 16-year-old young man who he noticed he was walking around barefoot. It was extremely cold. And he said, why are you walking around barefoot? He said, well, I went through my shoes, and they just began to flop, and they were more trouble than going barefoot, so I just go barefoot. And so in a little while, he came and handed a package to the young boy, and the boy opened it, and it had a pair of track shoes in the box. Those were the track shoes of the day he won the gold medal. Those were the track shoes that held him to the past. Those were the track shoes that gave him some sense of identity. He gave them up. He surrendered his identity completely that day for what his true identity was in Christ Jesus. I want you to know something. We are called to live out our identity, not to frame it. Not to post it on a wall, not to talk about it, but to live it. Eric Little knew how to do that in every arena of his life, whether it was in a concentration camp or in the glory of the Olympics. That man lived, he died at 43 years of age, because while he was in those camps, serving those kids, he kept having headaches, and when he woke up one morning, he had had a stroke, and they rushed him to the clinic. He was there for a month. He sent a message to his wife that he thought he would be better once he took a little bit of a rest. Eric died, he had an inoperable brain tumor at 43 years of age. Now, I want you to know something. This man in 43 years did more than 10 Christians do in a lifetime for the ministry of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he had accepted his identity, he knew what his identity was, and he stood in whose he was, which was Jesus Christ. How do we come to our true identity? And I contend that it is by walking in him. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is alive and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of the soul, joints, and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. It judges the attitudes of the heart. What does it mean? It lets you know. Judges means it discerns right or wrong of it. It lets you know whether the attitudes and the feelings you have are right or wrong. What does? The Word of God. You don't go by your feelings. You don't go by your thoughts. You don't go by what you are attracted to. You go by what God says. And a person whose identity in Christ is in Christ stays in the Word of God. Why? Because they are daily being confronted with things that come to their mind and heart, and they're trying to say, should I do this or should I do that? Romans chapter 8, verse 29 through 30, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he justified. And those he justified, he glorified. Eric Little recalls that when he was facing his greatest moments of decision on whether to run in the race on Sunday, he was handed a note by a man as he was going to the Olympic Committee, who was standing there in the hotel where he was. He opened the note, and this is what the note said. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me. Those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me will be disdained. Those who honor me, I will honor. And when he received that, he says, I don't know who the man is, but to this day, I thank God that he gave me that scripture on that day, because it gave me my decision. He always received his decisions from the Word of God. I as I studied the life of Eric Little, and I thought about my life, and I thought about other people that I knew, and the biggest thing is they had surrendered their identity to Christ. They had become one with Christ. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 through 25. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. We come to the end of the service, and I'm asking you, I want to know, do you know your identity? Some people say, I don't know that I know exactly what my identity is. The place you begin is with your identity in Christ. You have to begin there. And that supersedes everything. It says, behold, I have been crucified with Christ. What does it mean by that? Does anybody know? Look at that scripture. I don't know if you've got it. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 and 25. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For for whoever wants to save their life or their identity will lose it. But whoever loses their life or their identity for my sake will find it. I know, because I was there. I went kicking and screaming straight home and told my wife I thought it was wrong that my identity had been stripped from me. She's always got that wisdom. I think it's sometimes given to a wife at the right occasions. She just looked at me and said, thank you.